Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Data message rates apply to national contest. It's Unicorn Cash Time on 92.9. Every hour, weekdays from 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. and right now.
That's right. It's time for your 9 o'clock Unicorn Cash Code. Text CREDIT, C-R-E-D-I-T, C-R-E-D-I-T, 72881 here in the next hour, and you're automatically entered for your chance to win $1,000. Again, that's CREDIT, C-R-E-D-I-T, C-R-E-D-I-T, to 72881. Of course, data and message rates may apply. Your next chance to win is right here on the Jeff Calkins Show at 10 a.m. when I will give you another Unicorn Cash Code. One last time, text CREDIT, C-R-E-D-I-T. Text CREDIT, C-R-E-D-I-T, to 72881. Good luck.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. 'Cause I'll make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble and dust, 'cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say,
hope you are making it through this bit of a sopping morning. Did you make it through okay, Jeffrey?
I did indeed, sir. I'm here.
I had to figure out how the windshield wipers worked on the...
You had to turn them on again?
On the new, and by new, I mean 1997...
New to you.
...car that I just acquired. But the thing about getting a 22-year-old Mercedes is it has a single windshield wiper.
Yes.
How cool is that?
Yeah, the one big one.
It's got the one big one, as they say. So anyway, hope your windshield wipers are working and you're getting to where you need to go with abundance of safety and caution. Today on the show, Jonah Jordan is going to join us. It's all about to happen. Starting tomorrow, it is all about to happen as the parade of players into the University of Memphis, the expected parade. Boy, it'll be unfortunate if it doesn't happen. But the expected parade of players is supposed to begin tomorrow. We will talk to Jonah Jordan about that and more. Chris Harrington has written, as he promised yesterday, over at the Daily Memphian. He has written a piece, Everything You Need to Know About the Lottery from the Grizzlies' Perspective. We will go over some elements of that. We have, of course, a whole bunch of other things to get to, including, what'd you think of the royal name, Archie?
It's just nice to see royalty honoring royalty, don't you think?
It's not even Archibald.
Is
Archie Manning's name Archibald?
Yes, correct.
But this Archie is just Archie.
Correct. I didn't actually know that was
what do you think of Archie? I like Archie.
I mean,
I was thinking Archie Calkins.
Mm-hmm.
Meh.
AC, if you will.
AC Calkins.
Mm-hmm.
No, and AC Calkins, it would be AC. That would be Calkins would be redundant at that point.
Yeah, but I mean, like Jim Ross is JR, so yeah.
I think Ace, I think Archie's, I like Archie. It's kind of impish, and it's, and the fact that it's not Archibald, which mm-hmm. is a little formal for my tastes, I like Archie. I don't imagine it had anything to do with the University of Mississippi.
I think that seems unlikely, but if there's one could thing I know be. About Ole Miss people, they'll still take credit.
No, it's, and we could be the old Buckingham Palace 18 miles an hour at this point, right?
Which is tough because they're on the metric system. So kilometers per hour, 18 kilometers per hour. I guess if you really want to be safe.
Right. If you want to be safe, 18 miles per hour. And
I guess the circle drive will now switch to 10.
People who have no respect for Ole Miss and no respect for everything that that proud institution stands for. And honestly, the ways – here's I will say this. I, by not making the obvious joke about two entities who are living – they're linked.
Correct.
Great Britain, England, and Ole Miss are linked in that they are both two entities who are living in the past.
Yes, we will not make that reference.
In fairness, I don't think that's true at all of Ole Miss. It might be true of Ole Miss football, right?
Yes.
But Ole Miss as an institution, if there's one thing that it has tried to do, and it's been fits and starts because there's been pushback and you still got Colonel Reb running around there and renegade Colonel Reb running around before football games, and you certainly don't have everybody on board. But if there's one thing the institution has tried to do, it's not live in the past.
Completely agree.
Don't you think that's – that's one of the things people say about Ole Miss that I think is just patently untrue. And even – I'll be honest about this. I don't really think Ole Miss fans are delusional about where they stand in the pecking order of – I mean, any more than any other fans
yes.
are delusional about where they stand in the pecking order. They know they're not Alabama. They don't actually think they're 1960s Ole Miss.
No, I agree with you.
I mean, they know – here's what they know. They know they're not as good as Alabama, generally. Every given year, they're not as good as Alabama. They're not as good as LSU, although it's a good rivalry, and they can beat them. But they know they're not as good as LSU. They know they're not as good as Auburn. They shouldn't be. Like, they're not – they know they're not as good – who else is in the West? Is that the only ones that are patently better? Oh, Texas A&M. What do you think they think relative to Texas A&M?
They've actually had some success against A&M, but in general, I think they know that A&M has significantly more money.
More money and resources.
The problem with A&M in comparisons to the SEC is it's so new.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's not – to me, Ole Miss and Arkansas are very – like in terms of expectations,
very
similar.
If you're going to rank jobs, the ones that would be definitely be ahead of Ole Miss would be LSU, Alabama, Auburn, Texas A&M in the West, right?
Correct.
Definitely ahead.
Yes.
And then, do you think any Ole Miss fan would do you think most Ole Miss fans, if you put that in a poll on the message board, so just, you know.
Sure.
Would they agree with that?
Yes. I think that would be an overwhelming majority.
Yeah. So I don't actually even think they're living in the past. I think it's just something we say. There's a lot of things we say that we just say.
A trope?
They might once have been true. I suspect there was a time when Ole Miss was no longer really good. Right?
Correct.
When they still thought they should be really good, right?
Yeah.
Probably DePaul went through the same thing, right? Where
sure.
DePaul in basketball, for example, probably went through the same thing at some point where you think you should, maybe the Lakers fans, although the Lakers fans still should be good. Not necessarily the way with this team and management group was constructed and everything.
Boy, they had a day.
They had a day. But they have so many advantages, they should be good, right? The classic one to me is. And this is one of the things I talked about yesterday at the Arlington Chamber of Commerce where I spoke, was Memphis has an inferiority complex. We always said that. It used to be true. Memphis has an inferiority complex. Now we just say it out of habit, whereas I don't believe it's true. I believe Memphis has this sort of pride thing going on, which I like. Look at when you name the soccer team 901 FC, what does that demonstrate? It demonstrates... like choose 901, I love Memphis murals, all that stuff. It's just we've gone run riot with it, right? It goes gone crazy with it. We still occasionally say, "Oh, Memphis has an inferiority complex," but it's not true. Memphis has this pride in itself. I think there are things that you say even after they are no longer true, and I think that's one of the things that we say even after no longer it's true. How about defense wins championships? Is that true?
Well, I mean. As we've learned from the Progressive insurance ads, I mean, it's true. Those are my favorite. When you're becoming your parents, and then there was a line where he goes, all of a sudden, I'm now saying, well, defense wins championships. And he's in a group therapy session. And then everyone goes, well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, right.
Everyone agrees.
Right. The
defense wins championships.
Does defense win championships? Just look recently. Like, did the defense win the Super Bowl last year?
I think bad offense really won the Super Bowl. I mean, I guess, yes, you could make the statement that
the New England's defense
last night.
Certainly the year before, defense didn't win championships. No, the Eagles, if really Nick Foles wins championships.
Well, and the Patriots defense last year was not good. Like, they had a very good Super Bowl.
I don't think in the NBA you'd say defense wins championships, right? You got to be able to score and threes and everything else. There are a lot of things we say that aren't necessarily true. Anyway,
but then you always get the person that will make the counter about the Warriors when everyone goes, well,
yes, they're also a great defensive
team. They're defensively the most efficient defensive team
in the league. Yes, that's exactly right. Okay. Anyway, congratulations to the royal couple and to Ole Miss. And there you go. So here I have a couple questions after last night's NBA activity.
Okay.
One is, who are you picking? Now that we know, let's assume Kevin Durant out next two games.
All right.
With whatever it is. They say calf strain, whatever it is. Assume he's out the next two games. Right now, you just get the you win $1,000 if you tell me who's winning the series. Who's winning the series?
My brain says I should pick the Rockets because the only player that's truly been effective defending James Harden has been Kevin Durant. Like, the adjustment last night that Kerr tried early was trying Iguodala on Durant and that, or Iguodala on Harden, and that did not work. And then
Harden took one shot in the final 8:58.
It was unbelievable to watch.
So your brain says it should be Rockets, but you would take the Warriors?
Correct.
Why?
Chris Paul has the yips, I think. That's where I start also. Harden, I think the usage rate is now starting to take its toll on him. Also, P.J. Tucker's now playing 45 minutes. To me...
Warriors have equal depth problems and more now because they have no Durant.
But I think they have a better team. They have a better starting five.
It is funny. If you did right now a draft of players remaining, take Durant out of it,
yes,
right? And you said, okay, we're going to carve up these two teams, you would take James Harden first, probably, right? Wouldn't you? Ahead of Steph? Yeah.
I think you probably would.
But then wouldn't the next
three, I think.
Three would be Warriors, right?
Correct.
So, or whatever. So I still, I'm taking the Warriors. And I'm taking the Warriors because first they only have to win one.
Yes.
And they could just get hot and win one.
Yes, they.
I'm taking the Warriors. I'm still taking the Warriors.
Clay looked healthy enough to shoot last night, didn't he?
Yes, he did. So I'm taking the Warriors. But it certainly becomes fascinating, and you can actually argue that this is sweet karma. Like, I don't wish injury on anyone except for minor injuries on Warriors that take them out of games. Then I do actually wish injuries on them. But so if this is just a calf strain, I'm here for that.
I wanted a nice clean break. No! You know what I mean? A bone. No, I wanted something clean that you 100% come back from.
I think if this is a calf strain, you 100% come back from it. You don't not
if
come
it's
back.
A yes, if it is, indeed
you 100% come back from a calf strain. I'm not. If he is a calf strain, I have no problems with him getting a calf strain. In fact, if I could vote, would you want Kevin? This is poor sportsmanship of me. If you could vote, do you want Kevin Durant to get a calf strain or not? I would hit the yes button.
Okay,
is that bad?
If it's a calf strain,
is
no.
that no? I don't think it's bad.
No.
Well, it is bad because you could say you want the best players. And you don't want
right,
to see anyone
yes,
hurt.
Yes, yes,
you want to see the best players play and whatever.
I want the best to beat the best.
I would rather have them have a calf strain, and a lot of it is that they've been a great team, but they've also been incredibly lucky. Like this is exactly the flip side of what happened last year with Chris Paul. Even if you go back to the Grizzlies and Tony Allen, I'm not saying the Grizzlies would have won that series. But they had Mike Conley with a broken face and Tony Allen who couldn't move.
2017 Western Conference Finals, Kawhi Leonard. That changed the rule about the giving them space. The rule that everyone's so upset that right. Harden is abusing and whatnot, that's because of the
Kevin
Warriors.
You've had Kevin Love hurt before. So, listen, this is karma, ladies and gentlemen. This is
Kyrie in the finals the first time they played.
Let's see if they can do. I mean, I'm going to go back to the Grizzlies one. Like, again, I don't necessarily think the Grizzlies would have won that series, but I would have liked them to see it be a fair fight. And so now we have it flipped around. I think it also, honestly, if the Warriors had won and were completely healthy heading into these next two, we'd be back to, it's over, right? We'd be back to, it's over. Whereas this adds real intrigue. Can they do it? It's total. Can they do it without Kevin Durant?
There's no question the interest.
Level of intrigue is,
yes.
even like, it's been phenomenal series. And that, you know what this feels like to me? It feels like there is a what's the kids' movie about they're all trying to kill each other?
Lord of the Flies?
No, not that one. They dump these kids off into Katniss Everdeen.
The Hunger Games.
The Hunger Games. They have a game maker, right? They have as this is all unfolding. They have...
Played by Philip Seymour Hoffman.
God rest his soul.
R.I.P.
Right. He was tremendous. Tremendous.
He's an
actor.
Unbelievable actor.
Unbelievable.
Yes, he was an amazingly gifted actor.
And I think it was heroin that got him.
Yes.
Honestly, it was.
Yes.
But was he called the Game Maker? What was he called? He was called the... Google that. So it reminds me. So the things unfold. The Hunger Games are unfolding. And if they start to get a little boring, or if they start to get a little... Because all of the whole... The whole nation of, what's the name? That's the main nation in the Hunger Games. Anyways, watching this on TV, they throw in a twist. And what happened here is, it's like Philip Seymour Hoffman, from wherever he is, has looked down at this series and said, you know what we need? A calf strain.
Got to make things interesting. You got to. That's how you...
You throw that into the series and you ratchet up the interest. We've been saying all along... Does Kevin Durant hurt him? Can they do it without Kevin Durant, et cetera? And now we will have that question right in front of us. I mean, answered right in front of us. And the flip side of it is, it also puts a huge onus on the Rockets to now take advantage of this. They have been handed this opportunity, and in particular, James Harden has been handed this opportunity to prove his greatness, to prove that he can carry a team to a title. Now there's no KD on the other side. He's got no excuse. I think Philip Seymour Hoffman did a magnificent job in orchestrating this.
There's no question. And for those that are older than 25 or didn't have kids, roughly below the age of 20, very much like Kristoff in the Truman Show, the director that was up on the moon that would push. You know, he'd send in.
Is that the same thing?
When things were getting boring on the Truman Show, he'd manipulate events to make it more exciting. You're 100% right.
Same kind of dude, right.
Same idea.
So someone basically said, let's have Kevin Durant go down with an injury and see what happens next. Does it put a huge onus on James Harden?
See, this is what I think is also fascinating. Does this now become James Harden's series where, man, if you can't beat them without
KD, and you just went 8, what was it? It was
If you're trying to be
858 without taking a shot until final 18 seconds.
You had two shots in the fourth quarter. I believe both were inside the paint. I think they were both layups, if I remember correctly. I mean, to me, this becomes the James Harden series. Like, this, if you're going to be the one of the five best players of your generation, I think you have to win this type of series.
I think this is now this opportunity that has been put absolutely in front of you, and it is, there's no question that it is his. I think it's his to win or lose, and I think it will help define how people think about it. Obviously, he'll be thought of as a tremendous player.
But like, even, you know, for all the crap the Thunder take about the Harden Westbrook thing. Harden was straight up bad in that finals against the Heat when the Thunder got there with Durant and him. Like, he was just straight up bad. And he kind of has a history of these types of moments fading. And I think you do have to have the one series where you kind of right the wrong.
I'm trying to still figure out what the name of this person was. Philip. What did they call Philip Seymour Hoffman? Do you even know what his name was? What his name was? What was he in the Hunger Games?
I've never seen the movies. I haven't read the books.
Is that true?
Yeah, fact.
That is insane.
They never interest me.
But you haven't read them. How do you know they don't interest you?
The whole dystopian Lord of the Flies.
No, but they're fantastic. The books are just out of this world good. Out of this world good. Just crazy. Like, the books, I mean, the movies were great, too. But the...
Plutarch Heavensby.
Plutarch.
Plutarch. Okay, so...
Plutarch Heavensby.
Mm-hmm.
And did they say what he is?
He is the head game maker.
The head game maker. So the head game maker did well here. Okay, and in the other game, head game, this was Plutarch was...
He took this one off.
Well, what he wanted to
do... He was rested up.
He wanted to add some intrigue into the offseason.
Yes.
That's he was looking ahead here.
Yes.
He was like, okay, we got this one thing. First of all, you didn't need three game sevens on... We could still have three game sevens on Mother's Day. That's true, I believe. And that poses a problem for some people. Anyone with mothers in their lives. That's sexist. Mothers also like watching basketball. I apologize. But anyway, in the other one, it just added intrigue into the offseason because the Celtics, who were supposed to have, because they added Kyrie, because they added Hayward coming back healthy, and after what they did last year, they were at the very least supposed to get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
They
right?
were the prohibitive Vegas favorite to make the Eastern Conference Finals.
And instead they fell apart.
Correct.
Absolutely fell apart. And
in spectacular fashion.
Do you believe that the revenge of Anthony Davis and the New Orleans Pelicans is part of this? Look at yesterday's two teams that Anthony Davis is rumored to go to,
okay.
Right? One is the Los Angeles Lakers,
mm-hmm.
who are getting rebuffed now by Ty Lue, who have added Lionel Hollins to their list of coaching candidates. Shout out to Lionel Hollins. I like Lionel Hollins, but you wouldn't think of him coaching LeBron, right? Ty Lue is basically said, "Screw you." They're trying to short him on money and years, and stack his bench with such figures as Jason Kidd. And so
Tom Thibodeau was also rumored to be.
Stephen A. says that there are people who are urging them to trade LeBron. They're a mess, right? And now you have the Celtics, the other team that was supposedly invited. And both of those teams, it was, yeah, we'll give anything for LeBron for Anthony Davis. You want Jason Tatum? The management wasn't saying that. Management of the Lakers was, but management of the Celtics was
right,
not.
Right, the Lakers legitimately said, you can have whatever you want.
The Lakers reportedly said, you can have whatever you want. The Lakers, the Celtics didn't. Everyone went through the exercise.
Well, and the Celtics because of the structure of certain contracts, the Celtics really couldn't make this deal happen until July anyway.
Right, but people were already saying,
yes.
Would you rather have the Celtics deal this summer, which would include Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown or whomever else? So you have both of these franchises with their current players being treated like chopped liver.
It also seems more than likely Boston also let it be known to New Orleans, don't make a deal yet.
Right.
We'll talk this summer.
But the question is did this impact? It very clearly impacted the Lakers. Did it impact the Celtics, or was it the Celtics just its own internal problems with Kyrie and too many good players and Brad Stevens saying he did a bad job, et cetera?
I wouldn't say curse of AD or however you want to spin it.
It's sweet though, isn't it?
Oh, it's fantastic. But the Lakers are doing what happens when you have LeBron. Like when
right.
LeBron is your guy. You get all the drama and now you're having these power struggles. You're having these power struggles because Rob Pelinka doesn't want to make it seem like he's just yielding to every one of LeBron's demands. But at the same time, he doesn't have a great roster. So he's not just getting to pick the top of the top coaching candidates. And so to me, that's a completely separate issue. And then in terms of what's going on with Boston right now, that does a massive disservice to the job that Milwaukee did this year, because I think in terms of roster construction, I think they've done one of the best jobs I've seen kind of putting together quickly a contender. Obviously, you have to start with a guy like Giannis Antetokounmpo, but they finally did something like smart. Like, you've got Giannis. Put four shooters around him. Like, everyone on their team has a skill that makes sense
with that. And they took care of him last night, and so I agree. So what happened wasn't we're looking, people are more fascinated by the Boston part of us than by the Milwaukee part of it because we're drawn to drama. And I think you're right. I think the Boston stuff largely is internal to Boston, swirling around Kyrie, roster construction, et cetera. The Lakers stuff largely is LeBron-oriented and whatever. I find it to be lovely, though.
Oh, awesome.
Both teams that felt they were entitled to just pluck Anthony Davis off of the New Orleans roster are now in shambles. When we come back, we will talk to Jonah about the parade of players who are fixing to come to the University of Memphis starting tomorrow. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Memphis is known for its barbecue, but only one Memphis area restaurant actually serves world championship barbecue, and this is Gary Parrish reminding you that it's Memphis Barbecue Company in Horn Lake. Melissa Cookson, the owner, has won 8 world championships. She was the first woman inducted into the Barbecue Hall of Fame. She's the reason USA Today said a visit to Memphis Barbecue Company is, quote, worth the pilgrimage. I've personally been going there for years. You need to get there and taste it for yourself. It's at 709 DeSoto Cove, just off the interstate in Horn Lake. Check them out on the web, memphisbbqco.com.
Become a 92.9 FM ESPN Locker Room Club member now. Sign up on our homepage at 92.9ESPN.com.
Howie, Mother's Day is Sunday. How is Robert Irwin Jewelers helping us out?
Making sure mom gets diamonds. That's what she wants.
Oh, yes, sir.
One of the most popular sellers right now are these beautiful quarter carat diamond hoop earrings that we have. They're only $399. Mom would love a pair of those.
Yes, she would.
Mom also loves to stack rings now. And we've got great stackable rings, all different types, different shapes, different gemstones. Mostly diamonds, though, because I'm a diamond guy. All at Robert Irwin Jewelers starting at $199. 4 locations or online at rijewelers.com.
Tennessee, welcome to Save Yourself with Geico.
You go in for a hug, but the huggy pulls up for a handshake. You couldn't save yourself from the crushing inner cringe of a handshake-hug mix-up. But you could save yourself hundreds by switching your car insurance to Geico.
Yes.
You could save on motorcycle, boat, and RV insurance, too.
Nice.
Plus, the Geico Insurance Agency could help you save on homeowners and renters insurance.
Oh.
While your dopey arms, extended like a wounded bird, have become your biggest problem, you should know Geico is the second largest auto insurer in the country.
Okay.
Geico even offers 24/7 access to licensed agents and emergency roadside service.
Huh.
And while hugs don't always go as expected, you could expect your local Geico agent to help you save even more.
Ooh.
You couldn't save yourself the embarrassment of a handshake hug, but you could save yourself hundreds with Geico online, over the phone, or at your local office.
Oh, hi, Amy. What brings you to the Xfinity store today?
Do the hokey pokey and sing me something.
No.
Eat some spaghetti.
What?
Do the worm.
Why would I do that?
Well, I hear Xfinity gives me control.
Oh, yeah. Over your in-home Wi-Fi. You can see who's online, you can pause it, you can set a curfew for your kids.
Wait. So I don't have control over everything?
No.
So that guy outside that I just made wash my car?
It looks like he's getting inside.
I gotta go.
Take control of your Wi-Fi with Xfinity XFi. That's simple, easy, awesome. Get started with Xfinity Internet and TV for just $40 a month for 12 months with a one-year agreement. Plus, upgrade to get more than double the speed for just $5 more a month for 12 months. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store today to learn more. Requires EcoBill and AutoPay and 62119. Restrictions apply. New basic TV and performance starter 25 megabits per second internet customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees, including BTV fee extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply. Actual speeds vary.
Spilled your red, red wine? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills and messes quicker. And is 2 times more absorbent than the leading ordinary brand. So you can get back on track quicker. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
Your daughter's a genius. And with all those smarts comes a lot of travel. So you're at Hampton by Hilton for a science fair in Springfield. Last month she was a mathlete in Martindale. Next she'll be a robot whiz in Riverside. She fuels up on free Hampton waffles. You fuel up on coffee. With 6 hours of applied biology ahead of you, you need all your synapses firing. Proud parent of a prodigy? That's why we're here with free hot breakfast and more than 2,400 locations. Book at Hampton.com for our price match guarantee. Hampton by Hilton. Terms and conditions apply.
Earn 2 times the fuel points at Kroger Thursdays through Sundays. Just download your coupon on the app or at Kroger.com. Limited time only. Restrictions apply.
Branch Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Song, Bright Side, all that on a gloomy day when you will want to say, Alexa, close my blinds. I don't need to see that. And if you've gone to Affordable Blinds in Memphis and you've gotten the motorized blinds installed, blinds will come down. You can hear the rain on the roof and go back to bed. Affordable Blinds of Memphis, 753-5822. They do blinds, shades, and shutters. They do affordable blinds. I mean, they do affordable blinds. Yes, they do. They do quality blinds. They do fast blinds. John Martin has gotten plantation shutters. Says even Sam, who isn't happy with anything, is thrilled with the plantation shutters. Maybe you want shutters for the outside of your house. They do that for you. Maybe you want cordless blinds. They do that for you. It really is remarkable, the difference it can make. Go to their Facebook page, Affordable Blinds and Shutters Facebook page. Check it out. Check it out. Go look. Go see what it looks like. Or give them a call, 753-5822. Chip Wiggins will come to your home. He'll check it all out. He'll measure it. He'll give you an estimate. And within 1 to 3 weeks, the whole thing can be done. Affordable Blinds, 753-5822 or affordablebindsofmemphis.com. Joined now by Jonah Jordan. Coming to the University of Memphis for the Daily Memphian. Jonah, before I get to recruiting and stuff like that, the news of the day, of course, is that the Grizzlies are having workouts, and the workouts include Kevin McClain from Belmont, Jordan Murphy from Minnesota, Vic Law from Northwestern, Jalen Hudson from Florida, and Yoli Childs from BYU. Oh, yeah. And Jeremiah Martin from Jeremiah Martin from Memphis. Now, sadly, the workouts are closed, which is, they always close the workouts now. I got no problem there, but it's also closed in terms of talking to these people. It would be nice to see what Jeremiah Martin, how he's feeling about this. But what do you make of Jeremiah Martin? We knew he'd get a workout with the Grizzlies, of course, but he obviously did well in Portsmouth. What do you make of where Jeremiah Martin is in the process?
I expect him to get a workout with the Grizzlies. I mean, Markel Crawford and all those guys have always gotten workouts with the Grizzlies. They never don't work the Tiger guys out. But he's tweeted that he's gotten several other workouts so far in the process, which I'm happy about. I was happy for him about. He did play well in Portsmouth. I think he's setting himself up to be a guy who gets a good summer league deal.
Here's my question. Will Jeremiah Martin play more than 30 games in the NBA over the course of his life?
Oh, man, that's a tough question. I think yes. It's tough because I don't know what position he plays. I don't know what position he's going to guard. And the real question is, can he shoot? If he can show he can do those three things in the NBA, I have no doubt that he can play. I mean, that was always
let's be honest. Can we be honest? If I show I could do those three things, if I could guard a position, shoot, and what was the other thing? Guard a position, shoot, and have a position. I like my chances. So
that was always the problem with DJ Stephens is that nobody knew what position he played, and it was tough to play him because he'd get lost. And I think that's going to be a big problem with Jeremiah.
To me, the key with Jeremiah is, listen, he has certain limitations. He's not, for an NBA player, he's not big for a two, right? He's small for a two for an NBA. How tall is he? How tall do we think Jeremiah Martin is?
I think he was listed as 6'2" or 6'3".
Yeah, he's a small two. He's not a true one. So the only way I think in the end he makes it is if he shoots like he did in February, which is like to look back at that performance. And then let's be honest, After February, he was not that Jeremiah Martin. He had this incredible incandescent run of shooting where you would just say, holy crap, look what he's doing. It was Steph-like. It was incredible what he was doing. And then he kind of, became Jeremiah. A good player, but then he became Jeremiah Martin again.
I do wonder, though, I think you've talked about this in the past, is I do wonder, though, how much different the season would be if Penny had started off the season with the ball in Jeremiah's hands instead of Tyler Harris and Alex Lomax. If he had played him at point guard the entire season and just run the entire offense through him and just said go, like he was near the end. Because that's what they're doing. When he was shooting like that, when he was scoring like that, the Tigers were just putting the ball in his hand and saying, hey, we need you to go score for us. And it ended up working a lot. So I do wonder how much different the season would be.
It's funny. I'm looking at the – well, yes. Yeah, so that's a little bit of a separate question. And what Penny says to that is, listen, I don't know whether you actually believe this or not. Interesting question. Is that what Penny said is that players have to earn everything here, right? And the players who were best in the summer and in practice heading into the season were A-Lo and Tyler. And that's why he went with A-Lo and Tyler. And he thought, listen, I'm going to take the ball out of Jeremiah's hands. I'm going to put those two guys on the court with him. And he's going to be able to take some of the pressure off of Jeremiah, et cetera. And then as the season wore on, it was clear. And Tyler, let's be clear, Tyler started out great. It was at the very beginning, A-Lo was not up to the task. He got better as the season went along. Do you think it was because they were actually better in practice? Or do you think it was because those are his recruits, and he felt the need to start them?
It would be hard not to be better than Jeremiah Martin in summer practice after he barely played because of two injuries.
Well, there you go. That's a good point.
But I know Tyler was great over last summer, so that didn't shock me.
Right. So here's the issue. If you go to February, let's just go to his numbers from his three-point shooting in February, okay? And you tell me who Jeremiah Martin is. In February, he was hold on, here we go.
Okay, I've got it if you're ready.
I got it. He was 7 of 9 against USF. He was 8 of 14. This is from 3 against Cincinnati. Against UConn, he was 1 of 4. They didn't really need him. Against ECU, he was 3 of 7 from 3. Against UCF, he was 2 of 6. Against Tulane, he was 5 of 9. Against Wichita State, he was 5 of 8. Against Temple, he was 2 of 6. Against that's it. So he was, a lot of those games, 7 of 9, 8 of 14, 5 of 9, 5 of 8. So then you get out of February, however, and all of a sudden you've got Tulsa, he was 1 of 5 from 3. Tulane, he was 1 of 7 from 3. At UCF, he was 0 of 2. At Houston, he was 1 of 7. USD, he was 0 of 2. And Creighton, he was 1 of 4. That is not, I hate to say it, which isn't that Jeremiah Martin from 3?
Probably, yes. And I think people started changing the way they were guarding him a little bit, and he stopped hitting those tougher shots. Like, we watched in February, Jeremiah hit some very tough shots. Like,
incredibly tough shots. Against Wichita State was just nuts.
And people started changing the way they were guarding him a little bit. He couldn't walk into threes anymore. He stopped hitting the tougher shots, so he stopped shooting as well. So I think the real Jeremiah is probably the 1 of 4, 1 of 5 guy.
So, okay, so you predicted he would or would not play more than, did I draw the line at 30? 30 games in the NBA?
I think 30.
Why?
Yeah, I think.
Right? Well, we basically, he's an undersized 2 who doesn't shoot that well.
Because Jeremiah Martin's always found a way, and when somebody tells him, hey, this is what we need you to do, for some reason I feel like that I've always seen Jeremiah Martin do whatever it takes.
Right.
And I don't think that's going to stop when he gets to the
I like
NBA.
That answer. I like that answer. Jeremiah Martin finds a way. He wasn't supposed to have done what he did in college by any stretch, and he wasn't. And so I actually think I would take the over on the 32. I think he'll figure it out. I think it'll be some years and obviously he's already older. You know, he's not 19. But I think it'll take some years. But I do think he will end up playing. I would take the over 30, but the under. You know, do I think he'll play two full seasons in the NBA? Probably not. What do you think? Two full seasons? Would you take the over under of 164?
Oh, yeah, under on that. But I think he will find a nice place to land. He'll be an end-of-the-bench guy who finds a nice role, can be a great teammate, can fill in when he needs to, maybe have a couple nice moments in the
NBA. He'll have a lot of career in Europe. He'll have a long career in Europe.
Yes.
That's my view. And he will have a long career in Europe, and he'll be really good, and he'll come back to Memphis, and he'll be someone that people can be proud of. And I hope he makes it to the NBA. I like your theory that he will find a way. Okay, on to recruiting. Here we go. Starting tomorrow, Lester Quinones will be the first, and every single crystal ball now points to the University of Memphis. Does your own personal crystal ball point to the University of Memphis?
Yeah, my crystal ball was included in those on 247. But yeah, he's go. As far as I know, he's going to Memphis. I mean,
why did he say that weird stuff to you about Indiana?
But here's my thing: he is down to two schools. Do you know how many schools have recruited Lester Quinones? How many coaches have called Lester Quinones? You know how deep and good of a relationship you have to have with Lester Quinones to make his final two. I don't understand why people are surprised that he's talking well about him.
No. It's not that he talked well about them. It's that he said that's where he bonded with, at least according to your story, the most on the vert. It's not that he's talking well about them. He didn't say, boy, I really love Memphis and I really love Indiana. It's that he's talking best about them. That's what was weird about – that's what stuck out as weird about that story. When everybody, including you, are predicting that he's going to go to Memphis, why in the world would he say that's his – like, if I – that's his, the place where he bonded the best. It was the best
because
part that was weird.
He talked about returning players. How many returning players does Memphis have? They have four. And when he took his official visit, I don't even know if returning players were on campus at that point. So I think people are reading too much into it. I don't think anyone's reading anything into it
because they're reading. Everyone thinks he's going to Memphis, but I think what they're saying is it was just weird. Those are weird comments given that he's going to Memphis. There's also a theory that he might have been trying to pump back some. The way that James Wiseman's mom definitively came out and said it's not going to be Memphis. It's not going to come down to Memphis or Kentucky. When in fact it absolutely did come down to Memphis or in Kentucky, and so it's possible that it could be that.
But I can tell you this: that I talked with Lester for a minute, and
What's that like, by the way? You talked to him for a minute. Sometimes when people say in the South, we don't do this in the North. When they say they talked to someone for a minute in the South, that can mean anything.
It can mean anything.
I talked to him for a minute. It could mean you literally talked to him for 2 hours.
Dated girls for a minute.
Right. I've dated girls for a minute. Yeah, I dated her for a minute. I think it's pretty clear you didn't date her for a minute. You dated her for what, 2 weeks? What does a minute mean in that context?
Yeah, anything under a month probably.
Yeah, people down South. Like, I love the South. I love y'all. I love lots of stuff. But the minute thing is very weird because I don't know particularly in this context. Let me ask Jeffrey. When he said I talked to him for a minute, Did he mean that he talked to him for a minute, or he talked to him for a little bit? Was he saying that it was short, like it was just a minute, or was he saying, I talked to him for a minute, like I talked to him?
I inferred that he talked to him for a very short period of time. Roughly
I did too, but it could. The other correct. One's equally susceptible to equal that interpretation.
100%.
The South has got to get this minute thing figured out.
He could easily had a 10 to 12 minute conversation with him.
He could have had a 10 to 12 minute conversation, and he could be saying, "I talked to him for a minute." This is a totally screwed up. The minute thing you people have all wrong. Jonah, which is it?
I think I talked to him about 10 or 12 minutes.
Ah, see? He talked to him for a minute. You met him as in a long time. Let me ask you this then. If someone's a minute man, are they like, is that a minute or is that like 10 to 12 minutes?
I have no idea.
Uh-huh.
I say a minute, it could mean anything. Could mean absolutely anything.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. This minute thing is preposterous. Okay, so you talked to him for 10 to 12 minutes. What's it? What's he like to talk to? What's he? How is he? How is he?
Oh, Lester's great. Lester's
is he chatty?
Great, but yes, he is that. But I always got the feeling that he was going to Memphis. He loves Memphis. He talks about Mike Miller a lot. I've got another story coming out about that soon. About how his relationship, how he's going to fit at Memphis. We talked at length about a lot of stuff. Memphis.
Now he talked at length. Now he talked at length. Just a minute. How is he going to fit?
Precious. The quote that stuck out to me the most was the Precious Achiuwa quote. He said Precious Achiuwa was his right-hand man. And to me, that stuck out the most rather than the Indiana one.
A lot of people have said that these two are not a package deal, but that these two would like to play together. How does he fit? How does Quinones fit at the University of Memphis? Will he be your starting two next year if he commits tomorrow, as everyone expects?
I think he should be. I mean, he's a great fit along James Wiseman. He can shoot threes. He's great in the pick and roll. He can do a lot of pick and pop stuff. He's a very, very, very smart basketball player. Everybody is searching. You win championships with 3-and-D prospects, with guys who can shoot threes and play defense at a high level. And Lester's that guy. He's not he's close to on defense. All he needs to do is get a little bit stronger and get in the system and learn a little bit more, and he can be that kind of guy. You win championships with guys like Lester Quinones.
What is Lester Quinones in terms of how many years will he be at the University of Memphis?
Oh, there's no telling. I mean, he could be a 2-3-4-year guy. I mean, he won't be a one and done unless he comes out and is just scorches the earth next year for three. But you never know. I mean, he could be a 2-3-year guy.
Okay. Do you all have crystal balls on Tucker or not?
No.
Okay, because you don't have crystal balls. You only have crystal balls on high school recruits. If you had a crystal ball on Rajon Tucker, what would it say? Kansas.
Right now I'm a little cloudy. I think it's between Auburn and
cloudy.
Kansas.
It says cloudy. What was it? That's between Auburn and where?
Auburn, Kansas, and Memphis. I think he's supposed to be deciding either by the end of this week or the start of next. That Kansas visit, I've heard it changed a lot of stuff for him. He didn't even get invited to the NBA Combine, so I think returning to college at this point is the most likely scenario for him. But Auburn, Kansas, or Memphis, he'll be one of those three.
But probably not Memphis.
Probably not.
Probably not Memphis. Okay, we're going to cross him off then. But Precious, your crystal ball for Precious? Memphis.
I don't know. I'm going to get a lot of flack for saying I don't know, but I don't know. It's such a strange situation. Everybody's saying Memphis.
Are you aware? Can I ask you a question, Jonah? Are you aware that you're on Sports Talk Radio?
Yes, I am aware, and I knew I was going to get that. But
this you can get fired for saying I don't know on Sports Talk Radio. But go ahead. You don't know? Go ahead. You don't know. Why don't you know? Everybody else knows.
So here's the thing. Is with Precious is if he committed today, here's what I tell you, he's probably going to Memphis. But there's a lot to play out in this, I think. I think it's going to drag out over probably the next week. The two people who have been the most plugged in on his recruitment are Josh Gershon and Evan Daniels, who recently changed their crystal balls to cloudy on 247 Sports from Memphis to cloudy. You know, I think if he were to commit today, it would be Memphis, but he's not going to commit today. He's not going to commit tomorrow. So I think
by the time we have you on next week, we'll know all of these dudes except for RJ.
I think we'll know Precious by this time next week. I think I'd be shocked if we didn't at least know have a better idea of Precious.
We'll know Precious. We'll know Quinones, and we'll know Quinones. We'll know Tucker. Yes.
We'll know Tucker. And
Boogie?
Boogie. I think Boogie will have committed to Memphis by then.
Okay, so by this time next week, you believe Boogie and Quinones will be committed to Memphis?
Yes.
Okay. If they don't get Precious, and if they don't get Tucker, will there be more to be done, or are they just going to say, okay, we're done here?
I don't know. That's a good question that we really won't know the answer to until it happens, in all honesty. They could go after some more grad transfers. They could try and they could go back in on some reclassification guys. I mean, if they don't get those two, they're going to have what? They'll have two more scholarships open,
yep.
One or two. So they could do a lot of things.
I don't know that they would have to. So you'd have a backcourt.
Yeah.
You'd have a backcourt of Alo, Tyler, Quinones. Who am I missing?
Boogie.
You, right? So that's your back. That's your backcourt. Is that right? Am I missing anyone else?
No.
Okay. And then you'd have up front, you'd have Wiseman. You'd have DJ. You'd have, who else? Who am I missing?
Dandridge.
Oh, Malcolm. Yeah, but Dandridge might be hurt, right, at the beginning of the year. What's his name from Louisville? He's going to be back, right?
Lance Thomas.
Yeah, Lance.
Yeah, Lance Thomas, who I've heard great things about.
What do you hear about Matthew Morrell and the lot this week? We know Tennessee's already been involved. Now there's been a lot has come out that Kentucky's going to be involved. What are you thinking about Morrell for the next year?
I mean, I think Kentucky, I think all of these top schools are going to start getting involved with him after the summer he's having. I mean, I think he's great. I think he's probably one of the best best kids I've seen in the class of 2020. He's a really, really good. Everybody just kind of assumed he was a Memphis lock, but after what I've heard, I've talked around, and I've talked to people, he's far from it. He's not a Memphis lock. And he's gonna get recruited. He's going to go through the process.
What's his relationship with Penny? Penny has, I don't know if you know this, never missed on a Memphis player that he wanted.
This is true. I mean, I think Penny is in there. I think he has a good relationship. But Morrell also has a relationship with Damian Ball. He has a relationship with Tyler Harris. He knows those guys. They played AAU together. They've known each other for a while.
By the way, that's who I have another player with. I forgot. Damian Ball is in the mix there, too. Yeah, go ahead.
So there are a lot of relationships.
So are you saying that all of this slobbering over players from beyond the city of Memphis – is not going over well with Tyler Harris, Damian Baugh, and is therefore might influence the recruitment of Matthew Morrell?
I don't know if it's with those two, but I think a lot of this recruitment they're doing will start influencing guys a little bit locally because, I mean, those two guys are here. Damian Ball is coming back, or is coming. Like, he's going to play. He isn't scared of these guys. I've talked around about because I asked around about it. He's not scared of competition. He kind of expected this. It would shock me if he didn't come in and play his butt off. I mean, this is the type of kid he is. But with Morrell, if you've got Boogie Ellis, you've got Damian Ball, you've got Tyler Harris, you've got Alex Lomax, and you've got another guard, more guards coming in, I mean, where's the spot? And then if Kentucky can call you or North Carolina or Duke or one of those other top schools, Tennessee, say, hey, we got a starting spot for you. I think that is where the problem lies, is because these kids are from Memphis, they also see
none of the guys at Memphis who are one and dones, the only one possible one and dones at Memphis are Wiseman and or Precious Achiuwa if he comes. The other guys are all still going to be here. Some of whom will be in their junior year, some of whom will be in their sophomore year, likely.
Yes.
I see.
Exactly. And it's hard to recruit when you have, I mean, Matt Morrell's from Memphis. He's going to have a front row seat to see all of these guys and know they're coming back next year.
Right. All right, Jonah, we will see how it all plays out. Look, Quinones is going to have a thing, right? He's having a thing at 4 o'clock tomorrow. Is that right? Is it 4 o'clock our time?
Yes.
It's 4 o'clock? Yes, right, 4 o'clock.
Yes.
It's at 4 o'clock. He's having a thing. He's going to have hats probably, Indiana and Memphis. And then the first domino will fall. It's going to be one hell of a...
Gary Parrish just reported that Boogie Ellis is coming into Memphis for an unofficial visit today.
Boogie Ellis is in Memphis for an unofficial today. Boogie's on lock, isn't he? Like, I mean, come on, Boogie's coming to Memphis.
Yeah.
Yes. My understanding when Boogie left Duke, it wasn't to open his commitment to the whole universe. It may not have been as much on lock as Alex Lomax's was, which was, as we said yesterday, talking to John, which was in their actual release, that releasing him to go to Memphis. But he didn't, Boogie left Duke in order, basically, knew he was coming to Memphis, is my understanding at the time. And so now you've got Kanonis, you've got Boogie, and you just hope for the best. If you can add Precious there, like, it's on, right?
Yeah, like, that'll be the best roster Memphis has had since 2010 Joe Jackson year could be argued. Or no, the Joe Jackson and Will Barton sophomore year with Adonis Thomas can be argued, and then 2007, 2008 probably.
You think that was as good a roster as – it's not as highly recruited a roster.
Yeah.
It's not. It doesn't have the national rankings that this roster would have, would it? No.
No. The only – no, that – yeah.
They would never – if they get – in the end, if they get Precious and they get Kanonis and they get Boogie, this will be – isn't it – won't be the best Memphis class ever? In terms of rankings?
No.
Not in terms of overall ranking, in terms of the, no. They've never had the number one class, have they?
No. But that number two class, which had Joe Jackson,
Tarik Black,
and all those guys in it, was
Chris Crawford. It was number what?
It was number two overall last year. It was number two overall. I'd have to go back and do a little bit more research on it, though.
Jonah, we appreciate it. Thanks for the crystal ball. We appreciate it. We appreciate all of that. We will follow you and read your stuff at the Daily Memphian. Thanks very much. What do you think, Jeffrey, of all this? Do you have much suspense?
I think right now, for sure, the two that they're adding, obviously, not to regurgitate, but they're obviously adding Lester Quinones. I think Boogie Ellis, as you mentioned, I think that wasn't a coincidence when he decommitted, and the timing and the fact that it was such huge news here. In particular, when he decommitted, the one that really, really I find the most fascinating, the recruiting at least, is Precious Achiuwa, because I don't think Memphis would change their place with anyone, but I also think if you put truth serum on those that are in charge of the recruiting, they would say that the uncertainty looms, and I would presume that makes them uncomfortable.
Well, it makes me uncomfortable because he is a difference maker.
Oh, like, there's no question. He's a potential lottery pick.
Yes. Yeah, so the Precious Achiuwa thing makes me uncomfortable, and that's the category of player that they don't typically get. Right. That's the
correct
out of town top 10 guy. No connection to Memphis in particular, except a connection to Kanonis. And so, yes, I will. And it's not good when other people are changing their crystal balls. When did crystal balls become invented?
When 247 Sports entered into the fold. So just a quick history. So essentially what happened is the guys that originally founded Rivals.com, they sold it to Yahoo. And after they sold it to Yahoo, they had a significantly long non-compete. So then once their non-compete was up, they got the band back together and started 247 Sports. And then part of one of their appeals was the crystal ball predictions, and that's when they started becoming bigger and bigger.
I hate to say it, it's become kind of a cool thing. All right, I have some bad news for you, people. If you wanted to go to Robert Irwin Jewelers to get a Pets Mom, they're gone. I tell you people to act fast. When it comes to Robert Irwin Jewelers, they have unbelievable stuff. They're incredibly good at what they do. And Sunday is Mother's Day. The diamond paw necklaces for the pet mothers out there, temporarily at least, sold out. You'll be able to get more later from Robert Irwin Jewelers. This is why you have to get to Robert Irwin Jewelers. It's now Thursday. Time is a-wastin'. And we know if you don't get to Robert Irwin Jewelers, whether it's to celebrate your mom, your stepmom, your grandmom, your wife who's a mom, any mom there that you have, you can take care of at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Get them the Forever Diamond Necklace. It is a delicate open work circle necklace containing a single sparkling artisan-created round diamond priced from $79. You got the gold-trimmed roses, 24-karat gold-trimmed roses, beautiful, honestly, in all sorts of colors, starting at $69. You've got the Time and Eternity necklaces from $75 to $799. Beautiful half a beautiful quarter carat diamond hoop earrings, $399. Your mom deserves it. Jeffrey's mom deserves it. Every mom deserves it. Get to Robert Irwin Jewelers. They've got four locations. The one I go to is right across from Novel there on South Perkins Extended, but they have four locations, and you can go to rijewelers.com and check them out. We will be back with Chris Harrington, who told you everything you wanted to know about the lottery and the Memphis Grizzlies in a piece of the Daily Memphian. We'll talk to him about that and more when we return. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's Unicorn Cash.
Yeah!
Your chance to win $1,000 with the cash code on 92.9.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.